Before I start, I'm getting some of Simon's drugs, whatever he took this morning, for enthusiasm.
I took Jim Griffin juice.
So I want to talk today about a business model and the reasons behind it. More importantly, I think the reasons behind it are more interesting than the actual model itself. I want to talk about ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is, if I had to describe it in a few words, it's Blu-ray meets the cloud. That's the kind of product we're talking about. It's based on open standards like DVD. I've always believed that in the end, open wins over closed. In fact, in early days, this was actually called open market. It's a project that I've been working on for quite a while, and while I've been giving a PowerPoint presentation in one form or another for probably close to 9 years now, we've actually launched the platform in the United States on Tuesday, and we expect to roll out globally over the next couple years. So I first want to talk about the why the industry has gone in this direction, because what you're going to ultimately find is you're going to be surprised to hear that the motion picture industry has come out with this new model called ultraviolet. And a lot of the basis on it was really based on notions of disruption. I've always felt that we ought to disrupt ourselves instead of letting third parties disrupt us at their own financial gain. And in fact, Clayton Christensen, who teaches out of Harvard Business School, often says, good companies don't fail because of radical new technologies, they fail because of their reactions to these new ideas. And we've seen disruption over history. I mean, original UPS model, which was a business-to-business model, was disrupted by the automobile, and they had to change their model. We've seen IBM almost fail because they had no reason to believe that people needed individual computing power sitting on their desk and hung on to the mainframe. We've seen integrated steel mills fail to mini mills. I mean, there's nothing new about disruption. In my old days, when I had my intellectual property lawyer hat on, I treated disruption as a threat. I felt that the only way to get around disruption for intellectual property was to fight against it and try to stop it. And we found that, notwithstanding some of the early music industry efforts to stop disruption around them, we found that it didn't really work out. And when I started reading a little bit about disruption, I kind of determined that if you look at disruption as opportunities, you can probably find a silver lining there, and you ought to look for opportunities in disruption and not necessarily look at all disruption as a threat. And it changed the way I think the industry is viewing what we see today as very disruptive forces. There are three disruptive forces that I see facing the industry today. One is technology. Technology is changing so rapidly. I mean, we've seen today where wireless is going, and it made my mind spin, at least, on how I want to deliver motion pictures and TV shows to consumers in new ways. We find cultural disruption, which I'm actually going to be spending a little bit of time on to talk about why are there so many smartphones and tablets in the marketplace today, and what does this new generation of millennials mean to all of us sitting in this room. And what I'm not going to talk about today is disruption by digital parasites. Those are those services who basically distribute content without a license. They don't pay taxes. They don't compensate content providers. They're problematic in many ways. They are disruptive. So don't take away that I don't find them disruptive. They do change business models. But I'm not going to really talk about the digital parasites today. I want to talk about this new generation for a moment called the millennials. They're anywhere between the ages of 15 and 34. They don't think like we do. If you have any kids between those ages, you know that. They're smarter than we are. The generation is bigger than the baby boomer generation. In fact, this generation is the kids of the baby boomers. They like their parents for some strange reason. They don't work well in the workplace because they've been trained the moment they show up on the soccer field, they get a trophy. So after a year on the job, they wonder why they're not getting a raise because, well, I've been here every day. So it's a very interesting generation, and you have to really understand how they think and because of the sheer numbers. The three devices they can't live without, this is no surprise to anyone in the room, smartphone, laptops, and tablets. What that means for all of us as distributors of motion pictures and television shows and music and books and games and everything digital is they like a lot of flexibility, they like portability, they like personalization, they like carrying their media with them, they like access. I mean, all the things that these kinds of devices enable. So it's a pretty incredible generation. We can't ignore them. In the U.S. alone, by 2014, there's 86 million millennials alone in the U.S., representing 64% of the 18 to 49 demographic. Baby boomers in this room were out of the key demographic. So advertisers won't really be caring about us anymore. But the bottom line is that is a huge demographic going through our system. And we've already seen what happened in the Middle East with the under 30-year-olds and Facebook and social networking and tweeting and the change in social impact that this generation will have and continue to have over the next many years. When we as an industry were thinking about digital distribution, and we launched online services 10 years ago, and we continue to license our content to online services, including, you know, iTunes and Amazon and Love Film and you name it, we thought that we were going to really realize the potential of this new media. And what we found was growth for collecting online media is stagnant. I think the growth was maybe 4%. Video on demand has grown quite well. It's over 100%, and there are reasons for that. But the actual ability of consumers to buy content online is not very satisfying for consumers. And we've gone out numerous times and we've asked consumers, what do you hate about it? What don't you like about it? What are the problems you're finding with digital distribution when it comes to online distribution? Because we know that DVD was the greatest new media that we ever launched as an industry. Even today, 12, 13 years later, while DVDs are declining, there are still millions of people who want to who buy DVDs and enjoy them. What we found was, and this should be no surprise to anyone in the room, I don't think you even need to do surveys for this if you actually enjoy digital media content, you can't share with family like you can with a DVD. I can buy physical media, share it with family and friends. If I download it to my laptop, I can't. There was a problem with digital media because digital media today is closed. It's proprietary. It's siloed. If I buy it from Apple, I can only play it on Apple devices. If I buy it from Microsoft, I can only play it on Zune and Xbox. If I buy it from Sony, I can only play it on the PS3. So what happens if your wife or significant other brings home a brand of device that doesn't support all the content that you've acquired digitally? What happens is you finally decide, you know what, it's not worth collecting anymore. What if your hardware breaks, your hard drive goes down? Do you lose all of your content? And of course, how do you keep track of everything you own? If you buy it from different service providers, if you buy some content physical from brick and mortar and some content online, there's no way to aggregate a digital library. So with all this stuff in mind, we actually launched a new product called Ultraviolet. And it was actually the industry effort to do a do-over. So we brought a bunch of industries into the room and we kind of asked ourselves a question. If we had to build it all over again, what would it look like? Obviously, Vint Cerf is thinking about the same thing now about the internet. He thinks it's broken with respect because it wasn't built with security in mind, and he's thinking now about what would the next internet look like. And we did the same thing here. In fact, if you think about the internet, the early internet days was CompuServe and Prodigy. No one ever thought that we'd actually be able to have an open internet. And the same thing is happening today in many ways. No one really thought that we could develop a digital product for consumers that's actually based on open standards, so consumers actually have choice and freedom of content that they want to acquire. So as I said earlier, industries came together to actually try to figure out if we had to build a digital product all over again, what would it look like? These are only a few of the companies in the consortium that actually developed this new product, from motion picture companies to consumer electronic companies, companies that power the internet, retailers, and many more have joined since. The product actually is, as I've described earlier, is called Ultraviolet. And what does Ultraviolet mean to consumers? Well, You could almost look at ultraviolet in the center of the universe here and think of this as a DVD, right? You can buy a DVD from any retailer. It doesn't really matter what retailer you buy it from. You can play a DVD on any consumer electronic device or computer or your car or compact players. So consumers had choice of brand and they had choice of platform, right? Digital distribution did not roll out like I've just described to you. So ultraviolet is meant to be just like a DVD. In fact, the platform that we built, because it's based on a platform, is very similar to what the banking industry built with ATMs. If you think about it, everyone in the room obviously travels. No matter where you go, no matter what country you're in, you can use your ATM card and put it into a machine and take out local currency. And the reason you can do that is because that ATM machine gets to look into your account, knows how much you're entitled to, and can make you an offer. That's kind of what we built with Ultraviolet. Ultraviolet enables consumers to acquire content and collect in their own digital library and access that content wherever they happen to be across many different devices. So let's talk about some of the attributes of this new product. First off, it's an interoperable rights locker. Interoperable meaning you can actually share it with family in your household. So for example, I live in Los Angeles in Southern California. My son goes to school at Berkeley in Northern California. I can put him on my household account, and the moment I buy a new motion picture, he can stream it directly to his dorm, right? That's part of an interoperable rights locker. There are three key parts of the product for consumers. Consumers can download the content, like we do today, on up to 12 registered devices. Now, these registered devices are kind of like what iTunes did with the five transfer devices, that you can transfer a license across those five devices. In Ultraviolet, you can transfer a license across up to 12 devices. And that number, for the most part, is really arbitrary. If we need more in a household, we can always increase that number. The key thing about the download to those devices is that we've actually looked at multiple security solutions for those devices, giving device manufacturers a design freedom. They can pick the security solution they want. And because we're using a common file format, if I have time, I'll talk a little bit more about it, very different than what services use today. Every service today has their own proprietary format. This is a common file format across all services that have the Ultraviolet brand. We can actually enable consumers to take content from one device playing one security solution, or DRM, copy it locally to another device playing a different DRM, and that content will play. So DRM interoperability is a key feature of Ultraviolet. That's the download service. The second thing consumers can do with content is stream it. Streaming content, not from Ultraviolet, but streaming content from services that consumers use today. For example, I can give you some illustrative examples of some services that could do this. If you have a Vudu app on your iPad, you'd be able to buy an Ultraviolet Blu-ray at a retailer and stream it right across to your iPad. Download, streaming, and if you want to burn a DVD in your home for backward compatibility, if you happen to have bought content online, this product allows consumers to do that also. And if you can't burn it, we do anticipate that kiosks may develop in retail where you can go in and kind of cash in your download right and walk out with a disc. It should be fairly easy for consumers. You would shop as you do today for product that you find, whether it's on a DVD or a Blu-ray. This is a virtual right. It goes into your personal locker, or you can buy content online. You can sign up for Ultraviolet. It's free to the consumer. In fact, you can actually register now. As I said earlier, this product has launched in the United States with a Warner Brothers title called Horrible Bosses. You'll be able to collect titles. Again, if my son in Berkeley buys content, it goes into our family household account, and I can access that content, even though we live in two different places. And of course, then you can watch content wherever you need or want to watch it. This really gives consumers a lot of choice, much more than the choice they have today. It gives them freedom. They can choose whatever device they want with Ultraviolet. They're not They don't have to swear allegiance to a platform anymore. Now you can just buy Ultraviolet, and you can get it from any service, from any retailer, and play it across any device. You can share with your family. There are full parental controls on the content. So for example, my daughter will not be, when she looks into our family account, will only see content that's appropriate for her to see. So full parental controls on the content. Let me walk through a couple use cases so you can start to see the power of this platform. Think ATM in many ways when I start telling you or describing this to you. So LodgeNet, as you know, a major hotel pay-per-view operator, recently announced that they've joined the consortium, and they plan on rolling out Ultraviolet services across many of their hotels. So when you now travel, you'll be able to check into your room, go on to the LodgeNet service, and access your entire digital collection that you've been collecting over the last few years, because LodgeNet now is enabled by you, the consumer, to look into your account. Now, one thing about Ultraviolet, which is very different than any other cloud proprietary service today, this is actually owned and controlled by the consumer. It's not like iCloud that's owned by Apple or Google that's owned by Google. This is the consumer decides who gets to see their account, when, and what services the consumer wants provided to them. For example, a consumer might go into a brick and mortar retailer and buy a new tablet. And the retailer might say to that consumer now, hey, would you like us to load your tablet with your motion pictures and TV shows? So the consumer now can walk out of retail not only with a new device, but that device is now personalized with all of their movie and TV shows because the retailer was able to look into their account and see the content that they've acquired and have rights to. Another example, as I said earlier, might be I buy a Blu-ray disc from or a DVD with the Ultraviolet rights. And again, it's not a different Blu-ray disc. It's just a Blu-ray disc that comes with an insert, and the insert takes you to a website where you put in a serial number and you get the token into your rights locker or the digital proof of purchase. And on my way home, I can call my wife and say, hey, honey, I just bought Spider-Man, and she can start watching Spider-Man right over the cable system because the cable system is an Ultraviolet service provider and knows that I just bought Spider-Man. So when we start going down the path of looking at what should cloud services be with respect to consumer products, we think, at least, and we'll see over time since we've launched, whether this is the type of product that consumers want. It's open, so anyone can join, right? This is not a closed proprietary system. It's based on open specifications. It lowers barriers to entry for retailers. Because there's a common file format, you don't have to transcode your own file for your own system. The content provider will actually publish the final file for you. Because we have our own rights locker, service providers don't have to build rights lockers. They can just use the Ultraviolet rights locker. So if you're a retailer and you want to enter the business of delivering content to consumers, you don't have to encode and store content. You don't have to build a rights locker. You don't even have to build a back-end service, because service providers who've already built the back-end service can now white label different retailers, right? It's just reskinning what they've already built, because it's all based on a set of specifications and a set of standards. So that's what we've built. It's taken a while to build it. It's a brand new platform. We've launched in the US. We hit the UK at the end of the year. We hit Canada in the first quarter of 2012. And we'll continue to roll this out on a worldwide basis. Thank you.